Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Refresher Wealth with yours truly, Mark Kohler, and my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen.
Yes, I'm also yours truly.
Oh, yeah. Well, gosh, it feels like Valentine's Day. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening in today. We are going to have an awesome show. We come every week, of course, talking about tax and legal strategies, ways to build your business, protect your wealth, save taxes, all that good stuff. All that stuff you don't want to talk about. You want to go to those sexy YouTube videos and events where they're talking about making money. Folks, we're about saving money. This is the yang of the yang. The yin and the yang of building wealth. That's us. We're the other side of the equation that no one wants to talk about.
I always wondered who we were. Now I know. How do we fit in here?
Yeah. You know, if we actually prepped the show, you would have seen that coming. But, you know, this is what happens when Matt
and I are doing calls.
Yeah, we're doing calls with clients across the country every hour or two and dying with work. It's tax season still, 1.5 weeks left.
Yeah, we're going to get some shirts, you know, refresh your wealth. It's the yang.
I like that.
Listen for the yang. I don't know.
Yeah. Listen for the – okay, that's it. They'll be available on our site next week. Oh, we don't have time for that.
We're going to make some money on this. We could hire like a studio tech, actually.
Yeah, we should. Well, folks, if you want to get more information about our weekly free newsletter, posts on important deadlines, cool blog articles, weekly YouTube videos, please go to refreshyourwealth.com, refreshyourwealth.com, and sign up and you'll get 2 free ebooks that are great reading. If you can't sleep at night, you would love these. They're just power packed with information from Matt Sorensen and myself on small business strategies. So that's what we're about, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. So, yeah, just stick to that story. Well, today's going to be a cool show. We're going to be talking about the state of real estate education in America. We're just taking it on, baby. And as many of the followers of our show are entrepreneurs, some of them are kind of investing in real estate on the side. You know, maybe they just got some rental properties. They got their small business. Some of them, their business actually is real estate, whether they're a professional like a broker or agent, or they're a contractor, or they're flipping properties. So it's kind of a day job too, in addition to, you know, maybe some wealth building strategies in the long term. So big topic, but it's one of real estate education that we just, and this is Mark's insight, and you know, we really got to talk about this because people are kind of lost. Where do we go? How do I do this? How do I learn real estate? And as in terms of building wealth, you know, one thing we've talked about many times is there's 3 ways you build wealth: in your business, you know, you own your own business; in paper assets, you know, the stock market, whatever, and real estate. That's the 3 ways people make money in this country. And we're going to be talking about real estate today.
Yeah, and why we talk about the state of real estate education is because it's a minefield out there. There's some great education sources. There's some really terrible companies out there that can cause more harm than good in your quest to own some real estate. Because you don't learn this in school. You don't learn it. a lot of times from your family. You might talk about it around the water cooler at your day job. But how do I learn to invest in real estate? And so you got to do it. And we're going to give you some good tips today on what we feel are the most important ways to enhance your real estate prowess and knowledge and education, and what to watch out for. Man, I'm just holding back here, Matt, because I'm about ready to go on my soapbox. So we'll wait till we get into the topic shortly, and you're going to hear me, you know, lose it. Today's show is sponsored by Rockstar. I'm hefting a big glass of lemonade recovery. So,
did you work out this morning or something, or what are you recovering from?
Not in particular. You know, that's why I'm drinking a Rockstar. That makes up for the workout. So you can either work out, get all those endorphins going, or just drink a Rockstar.
Oh, I see. What you do. The recovery drink from, you know, your party last night, probably writing a blog article or a new chapter in the book or something wild.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm recovering from. Something. It's tax season. There you go. Tax season recovery.
There you go.
I deserve it. Diet Mountain Dew if it's just kind of a light day, but today's train wreck around. Yeah.
By the way, October 15th, if you didn't know, that's your extension deadline, folks. All you procrastinators out there, the time is coming where there's no more excuses. All right. You got to file October 15th.
Yeah. I've got a couple important when it gets to my tips. So folks, if you're a regular listener, you know what's coming next. We want to do a generic tax and legal tip, something that might help you in your current situation. Many of our listeners catch the first half of the show just to get those tips and then say, nah, the rest of what you guys talk about sucks. So I'm just going to drop off. That's up to you. You can do that. It's
nobody
a free
does
country.
That. Nobody.
No, they don't. So you just we grab you. We bond with you in this first half hour, and then you can't stop. You just keep listening. You pull over to the side of the road. So, Matt, do you want to run with the legal tip?
Yeah. All right. Let's hit the legal tip.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, this is a quasi-tax legal tip, but it's tax law. It's tax legal, so I'm going to call it a legal tip. All right, I'm talking about 529 versus Coverdell. Mm. These are two great ways to save for education expenses of children or grandkids, and it's a 529 or a Coverdell. Now, I just want to make a couple of distinctions because I have people ask, you know, what type of account should I use? I want to save for my kids' education or my grandkids' education and help put some money away for them. Should I put it in a 529 or should I put it into a Coverdell? Now, let me make one important point at the first. You're not going to get a tax deduction in either of these. There's no tax deductions. You're not saving on tax. The reason you're doing it is both of those accounts grow tax-free and come out tax-free for education expenses of your kids or your grandkids, or it could be other, you know, people. It doesn't have to be your kids or grandkids. But here's the difference, the main difference between the two. There's two key differences. First, in a 529, you put money in to basically a state fund. You don't get to say how it's going to be invested. So the investment of the money is just going into some fund. It's going to grow depending on how that fund does, and you're going to have your little section of money for that account.
And I think you're lucky if you get 5%. I mean, really.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the average is maybe 2, so maybe 3. So that's and so, for some people, that's good, especially if you're just putting a few thousand bucks in. You don't have that much in there and you're not, you know, maybe you're throwing $500 in a year. But for
go ahead. Actually, Matt, may I interject? Mm-hmm. I would just say the converse of what you said. I say if you want to put away a lot of money, the 529 might be the way to go because grandparents can throw in money. You can throw in money up to $50,000 a year into these things. But if you want to do the littler amounts, would that be fair to say? Can I inject that? Mm-hmm. I think if you want to do the littler amounts, that's where this Coverdell option 2 comes in. Is that?
That's true. I mean, you can put up to a few $100,000 per beneficiary into a 529. Yeah. Whereas the Coverdell, you're only going to get $2,000 annually per beneficiary. So yes, you can put more into the 529. But on the investment side, what I wanted to say is some people do a Coverdell, and then once you do a Coverdell, you need to invest the money. It's not in a fund, so you got to decide how to invest it. I mean, you could put it into like a mutual fund or something. But for many people who want to self-direct, If you do a Coverdell, you only got $2,000 in there for 1 year. It might take you a while to be able to self-direct that account. I have many clients who self-direct their Roth IRA or traditional IRA or solo K. And when they do a deal, they bring in their kids and their grandkids' Coverdell accounts, you know, that maybe have $5,000-$10,000 in them at that point, and they get like 1% ownership in the deal. But it's cool because they're in here at 1%, they're growing with that. And I always love seeing those clients. And I'm like, man, you're just a cool grandpa. I mean, just throwing this deal together, you got your grandkids' Coverdells in here. I always think those are some of my favorite clients. They just get it because they're out self-directing that. So Coverdell, you can self-direct. 529, you cannot.
Yeah, and I love the way you brought this tip together, Matt, because this is a really important topic. Anybody out there with that's got children or a grandparent wanting to do something other than a stupid toy at Christmas, this is a great way.
Yeah.
You know, those kids, they when they run under the Christmas tree and there's a big envelope there with a Coverdell, oh man, those kids, that's like a special Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
They can
give them the Christmas they need, not the Christmas they want. Jeez.
That's right. Someday they'll thank grandpa, you know.
I mean, are you their friend or are you their grandparent? So
that's right. So no, I love this, but let me summarize it this way too, just distinctly. Mm-hmm. A 529, you can put away a lot of money, and they're great for that. But the rate of return is very minimal, and you cannot self-direct it. The Coverdell, conversely, you can only put in that $2,000 per kid. Anybody can put it in, but it's limited to the beneficiary, not the donors. It's it's limited to $2,000 per beneficiary, but you have so much control of it, and you can double it, triple it, quadruple it far faster than you would ever in a 529. So they each have their pros and cons. And I have many clients that do both. Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Do both.
And here's the tip on the tip. All right.
Okay.
This is the tip of the tip.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but it sounds sounds very important. 529s. There are – now, remember I said earlier, there's no income tax deduction when you put money in. But under 529s, there are 35 states that give you a state income tax deduction when you contribute to a 529. Mm. I happen to have an article called 529 versus Coverdell on my blog, sdirahandbook.com, which you can search, and I've got the list there of the states. So, for example, Arizona, where I'm at, gives a income tax deduction up to – $4,000 for money you put into a 529. So that's cool. It gives you a little state income tax deduction. And again, that's available in 35 states.
All right. Matt, fantastic tip. I give you 2 thumbs up, 5-star approval.
Oh, thank you.
That was just throwing that out, just helping you feel a little better about yourself today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Now let's throw down a tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right, so here's my tax tip. And I'm going to kind of – this is going to be a little squishy, you know, maybe 2 tips in 1 here. The first one and really, Matt, you kind of got my juices flowing just a few minutes ago when you talked about October 15th is the final deadline. This tip is just distinct to this point, and then I kind of have a bigger one. Folks, if you can't pay your taxes or you're stressed about not getting your return filed by October 15th, here's the tip. File it the best you can, no matter what, even if it's a crappy return and you got to amend it later. Get it filed. The penalties for late filing are terrible. And the late payment penalty after October 15th, those penalties are the worst if you wait till after October 15th. Now, when you extend on April 15th and you wait to make your tax payment until you actually file your tax return on October 14th, I do that all the time. That's cool. The penalty, the interest, it's like a credit card. You know, that's cool. But if you wait till after October 15th, the interest and penalties for late filing are terrible. And the IRS, they just want to know what's going on. And when you don't file on October 15th, this is like that girlfriend you took out on a date last weekend and you didn't call her back. She's assuming the worst. You don't want that. You don't need this situation. I watched Dateline last night. The vengeance of a, you know, man or woman that got left hanging. They're not happy. Watch Dateline. That's how the IRS feels. You got to keep them in the loop. So if you file your return, they know what's going on. So, okay, that's Part A.
Yeah, I love the IRS is the girlfriend or boyfriend that's just, you know.
They wait just, for that callback.
Yeah, they want that callback. They just want to know how you're doing.
That's right. They just want to know. Where do we stand, you know? You've made a lot of promises. You promised to make money, but are you?
I think people have called the IRS many things, but only Mark Kohler has called him the girlfriend you took out on a date last night that wants to know how things are standing right now.
See, we better be careful with this analogy.
Mark is just one of a kind. That's why I love the guy. This is original stuff. This isn't like, you know, retreaded stuff that other people are talking about. This is, you know, this is original stuff here.
No, you can't make this up. No. This is what goes on in my sick mind at night while I'm watching Dateline. Okay. All right. Now, part B. Here's my part B. Now, this is just a good little practical tip because maybe I'm doing this myself right now as I'm getting ready to file my tax return on October 15th is, when you have expenses on your credit cards, you've got your Amex, you've got your MasterCard, you've got your Capital One, you've got your Visa, whatever. And you're paying for business things with those cards because you want the miles. I get it. But did those expenses really go through your business bank account? They didn't, right? So when you go to do your books, you've got your Wells Fargo business account and money in, money out. But when you pay those credit card expenses, or pay those credit card bills, most accountants generally book them as kind of a draw or a note payment, kind of a loan payment. Then you go back and do the journal entries of all the expenses on those credit cards. Let me say it another way. Print out all your credit card statements, take a highlighter, and at the end of the year, you go through and go, oh, this was travel, dining, office supplies, equipment, Apple Store, blah, 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 blah. And then you go do a journal entry and book them into your tax return. So this makes life a lot easier because your Wells Fargo bank account that you're doing your general banking with, they're not going to have all those details of when you make a payment on your credit card balance each month. Just make the credit card payment and just call it a note or loan payment. But then you go back at the end of the year and it's very simple to just go through and do a bunch of journal entries and capture all those expenses on your credit cards throughout the year. That way you're getting the points, you're getting the write-off, and your bookkeeping's easy. Now, if some of you are like, whoa, Mark, that was crazy. I've got a different method. That's cool. If you got a method in your madness, stick with it. But you may want to talk to your accountant about capturing these, what's simpler, what's easier. We have an accounting team in our accounting side of the firm. We can help you with that. Anyway, just a little tip. You want to capture those.
Mm-hmm. So it's good. Man, I was just doing that a few weeks ago. So,
yeah. Some late nights.
I know. And you know what? It's best if you do that monthly. That's like my resolution for myself.
Yeah.
Have your own little, you know, financial accounting, bookkeeping. It'll take you 5 to 10 minutes if you do it once a month because you're going to remember everything.
Yeah.
If you're an idiot.
So good, Matt.
If you're an idiot and you're doing it in October of 2017, trying to remember what the heck it was at, you know, Best Buy you bought in January of 2016, you're going to be like, I don't even remember. Was that business not? And then you got to go think about it and try and figure it out. And 20 minutes later, you know, you're just, so there you go.
Yeah. Yep. Tip of the tip. See, there you go. Tip of the tip right there.
That's
again,
what
you
I'm
just
here for.
Take it to the next level. Yeah. I appreciate it.
What's it called? The tip of the spear. That's me out in front.
Yep. All right. Well, are you ready for this topic of the state of real estate education in America? Should we do it?
I was born ready. All right. Well, let's dive into the topic of the hour, the state of real estate education in America. We're taking it on. We're just going to go for it. And, you know, this is something that Mark and I see as lawyers with a lot of clients in the real estate investment world. As I said, some of them are just on, you know, wanting to buy rentals. Some of them, this is their day job. And how do you get educated? I think in some ways there's a lot of consumer protection tips we want to give because we've seen people ripped off, buying stuff they don't need, spending way more money than they should. And so we want to give people some resources on where to start and what to look out for. We're going to be bringing on Bob Snyder, the CEO of Renatus, which is one of the leading real estate education companies you can go to, which is a good option for many people. But Mark, where are people starting? Where do you think people should start when they're like, all right, I I love the, you know, flip this house online. I mean, I gotta get in this real estate game.
Well, but I think it's
where do I start?
Twofold. Yeah. Matt, here's my take, and I know that you and I again do the show unscripted, so we'll see where both of us go with this. But I think this is raw. Yeah, and believe it or not, Matt and Mark are not always of one mind and one purpose here. So we'll see where both of us end up on this. But Matt, I think it's a two-prong approach. I think one, you need that community, that local support group. And I say, and I mean it. When I say local, I mean local.
Yeah.
I want you to join local RIAs, a local community that's part of maybe the education group you're a part of. But you need to have a support group around you that you can learn from. Now, there's some cautionary points we'll come to on that.
Yeah. And let's say a RIA is a real estate investment association. So, you know, whatever city you're in, type in your city name, REIA, or your state, and you can find the local RIAs in your area. That's the
bare minimum. Yeah. And I think there's local business groups, there's kind of private individual real estate clubs, and then there's the RIA club organization nationwide. But that's prong number one. Prong number two is, I think, that education piece, which Matt and I tend to be very online oriented, not sales oriented. There's a lot of groups that'll blow through town. They'll hit the market with a really strong marketing blitz on TV, radio, flyers, and then they'll show up at the convention center, sell hard for 2 or 3 days, and then upsell their boot camps or whatever. And those can be good in some ways. They can be bad in others. Just like there's cautionary points on both these prongs. But Matt, that's my take. I think you need a local support group, and you need to start learning somewhere.
Yeah, I think
I think
the RIAs, you know, they'll usually have like a nightly event, and you know, maybe it's $20 or $30 to show up. They're just trying to cover expenses for the room usually, or any things that they need. But they'll usually have a speaker come. Now the downside on, I think, a RIA is you really only scratch the surface. And some RIAs are better than others, but usually you're not getting someone going in depth on a topic. It's more introductory. And so if you want the meat of the topic, you're going to need to either engage that expert who may be coming through town, or that's, you know, local in that area on a further individual basis for what you're trying to do. But so I think RIAs kind of, like I said, they scratch the surface. The good thing about them, it is a great place to start, because it's $20 to show up, maybe $30 to show up. You're not dropping, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for some education yet. So that's where we like to start. It's also a good place to get some connections and just meet other people trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, I like it. And I think that's why you're going to the RIA, is not to get educated in depth, but it's to build relationships. What's going on in the local community? Are rental rates up, valuations down? They usually should do a market update. You'll get to know people. Now, here's another cautionary point. So Matt threw out one. I'll throw one out too on this prong number one, I guess, of getting involved locally, is you have to be careful of just assuming everybody in the room has integrity and good motives. Those can be a hotbed of scam artists. And I don't mean that, and they're all bad by any means, but there could be a wolf in sheep's clothing in that room, just waiting for you to show up with your IRA or some money in the bank, and they're going to pounce right on you. And so I think you need to approach people very carefully in the RIA, do your due diligence on deals, do your due diligence on people, and watch out for the scam artists that they'll show up to these clubs just looking for that brand new investor that doesn't know what the hell they're doing to take advantage of them. And you want to be cautious. You're attending church the first time. You want to sit in the back row, just watch, see what's going on, learn the politics of the local community.
Yeah, and don't be investing money. You know, you meet someone the first time there, and that's your only connection with them. Don't be doing it. You may be excited, and you might like this person. They sound great. They got a nice car out in the parking lot. You know, don't be investing dollars with someone immediately like that. Get your feet wet. Get educated first before you start throwing out dollars on an actual deal or real estate investment. One other tip I wanted to point out is maybe some good websites to get educated. As many of you know, obviously, Mark and I are putting out material as to tax and legal issues that would affect those in the real estate industry. But there are some great websites out there that are more community-based. And the one that I think really leads in this area right now is BiggerPockets. BiggerPockets.com is a great website. I'm actually on there. And it's kind of like Facebook for real estate investors. They've got discussion forums, threads, groups you can join in your local area to just – and it's all online. And there's a lot of people on there that have some great resources, a lot of our clients that are actually on there. So you can check that out, biggerpockets.com. They obviously have a podcast that's a good real estate investing podcast as well called biggerpockets.com. And there's some other – some podcasts we can throw out too on the real estate side. But start getting engaged in some of this free stuff, you know, this free informational product that, that kind of has some brand recognition, some credibility to it. And I think on the website side of things, I'd say BiggerPockets is a great place to start.
Yeah, I like your tip, Matt. And as we go down prong number two of getting educated, of course, Matt and I are fans of online education where you buy a bundle of great courses with educators that are doing what they teach. They're not sales oriented, they're education oriented. And Renatus, which we'll talk about later here, is plays a big role in that space. And I think they do a great job. But I like what, Matt, you said about the free education and all that, because there's a lot of great material out there. But here's the cautionary point again. Just don't jump on the first deal or the first bandwagon or the first person or the first educational concept. You may go to a club meeting or get on BiggerPockets or learn, you know, watch a show and go, oh my gosh, buying property at probate, that's like the best thing in the world. And you get hyper-focused. You get, you put yourself in this little box. It's slow down. Being a real estate investor means you're nimble. You're flexible. You're going to learn a number of strategies so that depending on the deal that comes to you, you might have three or four tools in your toolbox. So don't be too quick to jump on the bandwagon of any strategy.
Yeah, great point. And I think, you know, and this is one thing Mark and I, even in our workshops too, you know, Mark's workshops and my Self-Direct IRA Summit is there's so much value in having it recorded. If you can find educational stuff that's recorded that you can access later, oh my gosh, that's so big, because you can go to an event, particularly when you're new, and you may even pay for it, and you've got maybe one or two nuggets out of it of information, but you're like, God, I wish I could rewatch that. You know, it's 3 months later and you're remembering, oh, I remember something about this in that class I was at. But if it was recorded, like my Self-Directed IRA Summit is and like Mark's Tax and Legal Workshop is,
touché, right? My friend.
We got recorded versions because we believe in this. that's so much more valuable. And I think people can get much more out of the education by being able to rewatch it. And also, you know, maybe your loved one, if you have a spouse or something, so they can kind of see what is it you're actually doing. Oh, here's the recording of it. This is what I'm watching, you know. That's another cool benefit to that.
Yeah. And on that note, I'll give a shameless plug here for our workshops coming up. But I like what you just said at that last moment is you might sit down afterwards with your spouse or your significant other or your parent, your child, your brother, your sister, your partner, whoever you're doing this with. You want to sell them on what you're learning. And if you can attend an event or watch it online and then say, hey, come over Thursday night and I want to watch this on the big screen and take notes on a yellow pad with you. I want to show you this strategy. Or it could be a tax strategy. It could be a legal strategy. It could be a investment strategy. Whatever it is, you want your people that are close to you that believe in you to be learning the same thing you're learning, or else, again, you're on an island and you don't, it's going to be very lonely. But that shameless plug too, I got to throw out. This weekend I'm in Sacramento. live event for those that are in the San Francisco, Northern Cal area. Get to my website immediately, markjkohler.com. You can show up at the door. We'd love to have you. 2 weeks out, I'm in Chicago. And then it's out to Honolulu the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And then after that, the last event of the year is in Orange County, Southern California. Bring your board of directors, family, and attend Disneyland, tax write-off. And come visit in December 2nd. And it's going to be a live broadcast. And every one of the, you know, you get a recording of this too, and it's fun. But Matt's Summit, I'll just say it right now, plan it in the spring. It's going to be in Phoenix when it's cold and rainy and snowy and mucky. But you can go to Phoenix in March and attend the summit. And we're getting, Matt's going to be putting on his third annual. It's going to be awesome.
So yeah.
Be checking it out.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, now let's hit some consumer protection points here. I know we're kind of hitting things to do, things to look out for, but one of the things where that kind of breaks my heart, and I think, you know, Mark sees this maybe even more than I do, is people who come in and they spent $40,000. I'm not kidding. Yeah. We've had people come to us that have spent over $50,000 at particular companies to buy some educational product, to buy some asset protection plan that goes with it that they upsold them on, to buy some financial strategy or coaching service that's another layer for an extra $10,000. And at the end of the day, they don't even have one property. They still haven't done a deal. But they've got like this elaborate structure and educational product that is over their head and doesn't fit what they actually need. And we really want people to be super, super cautious. And I don't know, Mark, what you tell people and what could they do differently, you know, to avoid that. Besides knowing that those are the, I believe, Mark, you call them the wolf. Was it wolf or wolf?
A wolf. Shut up.
Those wolves are out there. And what I would say is when you're looking at that educational product, or there's some package that goes with it, whether it's an asset protection plan or a coaching service, you don't need the Cadillac. All right. You don't.
Yeah.
Especially if you're brand new, you know, get some of the education, but test them out a little bit, you know, take a test drive first and don't overbuy. Let's not get structures and things you don't need implemented or services or coaching that you're not ready for yet.
Yeah. I think, Matt, you bring up two issues. One is on the education piece, don't go all in on these, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 of education without taking action along the way. I think there's some great education in the $10,000 to $20,000 range, and you can start doing education immediately. It's like college. You got time to watch that education at home on your own time. It's not a power-packed weekend or seminar that if you don't attend the boot camp, you lose out. Watch out for that. Then the second issue that it makes me so mad. I was in Vegas at the Thrive event this last weekend with Cole Hatter. He did a fantastic job, and I spoke there. But I had multiple people come up after and go, well, I set up my Nevada entity and I'm just getting started, and they don't even live in Nevada. They haven't even done their first deal, and they've got this organization calling them from a call center in Nevada, selling them crap they don't need for five times what they would pay at our law firm for literally a conversation with a real lawyer, tailoring it to your situation for a fraction of the cost. And they got sold this package after the fact. So if you're going to do some education with various groups, watch out for that phone call a week later where they use fear tactics and sell you elaborate asset protection that is, it's just a travesty. And it's criminal. It makes me so mad. Now, does Nevada have some great strategy? Yes. Does Wyoming? Sure. Can we set up an elaborate structure? Yes, when you need it.
Yeah.
Not out of the gate. That's what makes me mad. It's a half-truth. Yeah, do those strategies work? Sure. But do you need it right now when your money and time could be spent getting your first deal done rather than the stupid elaborate plan set up out of Nevada? Watch out. Get a second opinion.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Get the $1 million of real estate first and then implement that structure. Don't go implement the millionaire structure when you don't even have a rental property yet or, you know, one deal under your belt. And I think, you know, those people, you know, though I don't, those people weren't from Thrive, but they came through different places before that, that, you know, right, had this issue. And that, you guys, this happens a lot. Unfortunately, the sales model has turned into, the real estate education model has turned into a sales model. And so you want to go to a place that really values the educational part more than the sales part. And if you can find a company that has that, and if you're looking for an outside company, find one that values education and puts that first. And you're going to get more out of the curriculum. You'll be a better real estate investor for it.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Can we bring out our expert?
I think the time is right.
All right. Well, let's bring our special guest out today that's in the trenches, if you will, helping people around the country educate them on real estate. And we mentioned his name a little earlier, so I'd like to give him a formal introduction. This is Bob Snyder, the CEO of Renatus at myrenatus.com. It's a great place to start your education. We're going to talk to him a little bit more about how to get started, I'm sure. But Bob has been in the real estate industry and education industry for, gosh, 20 plus years. If I say more than that, I'm going to get in trouble, I'm sure. But he is so dialed in to what's going on in America today in real estate education. And we want to get his perspective, share it with you. I know he's got some, in fact, I think today he is literally in the studio recording a video, and we asked him to break away for this recording and be on the show just to be with us for a minute. And he's recording today, I think, 10 steps to take action and avoid the pitfalls in real estate. And so powerful. That'll go out to thousands of people in his organization. So we're grateful to have him with us. And we did point out earlier, he is the eye candy of the radio show. So we're lucky to have him here. So Bob, welcome to the show.
Oh, Mark, you are too funny, man. I am so thrilled to be here. You've been telling me about this radio show for years, and now I finally get an invite.
Well, it's for real. Yeah, he's like, you don't really have a show.
Yeah, no, dozens of people listen, Bob. Dozens.
Dozens. Listen, I'm going to watch it. That's 13.
Nice. That's a baker's dozen. God, we did it. We did it, Mark.
No, I am so excited for your success, and I know that you guys are just knocking it out of the park with these topics each week. And I love to know where you started and the fact that you've got thousands and thousands of listeners every single week. That's, you know, kudos to you.
All right, Bob, well, let's get started in this conversation. We want to get into your brain here and learn something. So tell us when, you know, someone's at the point of, all right, I have a desire. I want to get involved in real estate, but I've never done anything before. I may own my home, but I've never done a rental property. I've never flipped a property. I've been watching HGTV and I'm like, this looks pretty fun, but I have no idea what to do. You know, I've just been watching TV, seeing these people flip houses and thinking that looks fun. So where's a good place, you think, for someone to start when they're looking at a company to train them or to get advice on real estate? What should they be looking for?
Well, you know, the fact is we fear what we don't understand. And the reason why individuals have some fear and trepidation about real estate investing is because they've never done it before. I mean, they may have come from a home where their parents bought a house that they lived in, or they may actually have a home that they lived in. But when it comes to doing creative real estate so you can find wholesale buying opportunities to set you up for big wins on the backside of that deal, you've got to know how to find distressed owners, not distressed property, but distressed owners. Where do you do that? Well, you got to get educated. There's a lot of different education companies out there, as you guys know. When we started Renatus, I took a look at our competition, so-called, trying to figure out, you know, what do they offer? How do they offer it? Are they doing anything right? Do we want to copy some of what they do? And I elected not to, because I don't like the seminar approach. It's a sales model. It's not an educational model. And I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah, what they do is they put a lot of folks into a room, they do a two-hour preview, they sell them into a three-day boot camp, and that three-day boot camp is nothing more than an infomercial for their tens of thousands of dollars worth of products that they want to sell on the back end. What I learned is is that if you are not focused on education and instead you're focused as sales, you will not teach. Because the minute you empower someone with the knowledge to go out and actually take action, they stop buying from you. And that's what these seminar companies are built on, is just whetting the appetite to get people in, to get them to buy more stuff and buy more stuff. And at Renatus, man, we took a completely different road on that. We started by hiring a PhD in education to come in and teach us about instructional systems design. It's the same learning methodology that every college and university uses in the country to build their curricula paths. We then went out and found practitioner instructors to teach our courses. That means they make their full-time living doing what they're going to teach our people how to do. And from there, we've been able to build communities of investors all over the country. So it's a long answer to a short question. Here's what it is. Get educated.
No, I love it, Bob. And I like the word you used, community. That's another aspect of this that I think is so powerful, because community is what helps the person proceed week to week in finding deals, building relationships, feeling like they're not alone. Being an entrepreneur and being an investor can be very lonely. So my question of you is, we talked about this earlier in the show, was getting into local clubs and groups. At Renatus, you're not just online education, which is phenomenal education that's affordable, watch from your home and your underwear with a Diet Coke and popcorn. But how do you make that community piece work too in your organization?
Well, we build local communities of investors, and we've got them all over the country. But what we do is we really focus on finding a core group of individuals who understand the concept of team. And I mean, it's an old acronym. It's together, everyone achieves more. If an individual is left to their own devices as an entrepreneur, you're right, they get lonely. You know, they're all by themselves. It's easy to take action. It's easy not to. As a matter of fact, it's easier not to. So they generally don't do much with what they have intended. You surround them with a group of like-minded individuals where they can attend study groups on a weekly basis. They can come to meetings. They can come to property tours where they actually get to see a fix and flip in progress in their own market. You get them involved, involved in those kinds of events on a weekly basis. And now they gain the confidence and the competency to go take action.
Did you notice Bob got choked up there?
That's what I did get choked up.
I can see him on video here and he's like, this is changing lives. Yeah, no, he does. That's just good.
Well, that is so... I mean, that's what's unique, I think, about Renatus. I mean, Mark and I teach there, you know, and we get asked to teach at a lot of places, and we're not going to just teach anywhere. And it's been an honor to teach at Renatus, and the people there just have quality and integrity. I'll just say that. But when you're in a community like that, and I think when you're looking to get real estate education, that is so important. You know, if you're hearing a lecture from someone at the front of the room, and I can just think of my college days of all my professors that never, maybe half of them actually worked in the real world. The other half of them just like, you know, they just went to school a lot. But in those classrooms, you have, as you said, the instructors are actual practitioners, experts in their area. Their day-to-day business is doing what they teach. Also in that classroom and in the communities is you want to find whatever real estate education you're looking for. This could be Renatus or something else. These are things that we think are really valuable. Is people that have done deals before. As you said, Bob, you can go to an actual property tour that someone did that deal and can show you, here's what it was when I bought it. Here's how we analyzed it. Here's how we rehabbed it. Here's how the sales process went on the back end. I mean, going through that is so, so valuable, so critical than, you know, reading a textbook in the traditional college setting and trying to get an idea of how this actually works. And I think everybody can realize that. There's no doubt how valuable that is.
You know, I liken it to this. My old days in karate. I used to love to go and work out and do my thing. And the reason why I chose the dojo that I did is because on any given night, there were 15 to 25 brown and black belts in there working out. And I could model after their success. I could, learn. I could cut the learning curve significantly faster with that kind of example of what I should be in front of me all the time. It's the same thing in the Renatus community. People want to get started in real estate. You got to get educated, but you got to have a support team. I mean, and that support team does a lot for you. It's not only they show you the way, they inspire you to take action, because you meet people from all walks of life and you go, hey, I'm just like this guy over here. I'm just like this gal over here. If they can do it, I can do it too. And it raises their level of belief and competency and confidence, so they're willing to go out there and start doing deals. And you guys know as well as I do, the first deal to do is the toughest. After that, it gets easier and easier and easier. We got to get them past that first one.
I like it. And we said this earlier, today's show is not an infomercial for Renatus, but we seriously, when we thought of who do we talk to about this industry as a whole, we thought of Bob Snyder. And so, Bob, we are so grateful to have you here and talking about your organization. Let's talk about the industry as a whole, though. Since 2008, man, when the crash hit and the real estate market took a nosedive, a lot of education companies that weren't really educating but just selling fell by the wayside. But what's it like today out there? What are you seeing? Are there as many educational companies out there? What's happened to the industry? I'm anxious to hear your response.
You know what's really, listen, let's go a little walk back through time, right? I remember those days. We were you know, teaching real estate investment education. And as the market really started to correct, which it needed to do, what we found is that our students were crushing it in real estate investing. But the demand for real estate investing education suffered greatly. It declined in a big way. Now we've come through a very serious period of recovery. As a matter of fact, it's a housing shortage in this country. And because we moved into a housing shortage, one of the biggest factors that determines, you know, the value of property and the demand for property is, of course, you know, the demand in the marketplace. You got a lot of folks that can't find housing. So guess what? Public opinion has turned. And with it, you've got hundreds of so-called real estate gurus out there who have entered the marketplace with their seminars and their workshops and their coaching programs. And they are selling aggressively into this market and trying to get all those interested parties on board with them. So it's gone from bust back to boom, not only just for real estate, but for those who sell real estate investment education.
Do you have a tip of what to look out for and what an average investor should be aware of and be cautious? And you mentioned before, you know, the salesman to the boot camp, to the mastermind group, to the coach, and then it just goes on and on, and they never really get educated. You mentioned that earlier as a kind of a path to avoid, but any other kind of cautionary statements you'd give to that novice investor?
You know, the biggest thing is that you got to trust your gut. I mean, I believe that a lot of people, unfortunately, they push their feelings aside and they don't understand those gut feelings are really their life experience that are trying to surface an emotion that warns them to stay away from certain things. I mean, if you go to a 2-hour preview or you go and you see an infomercial or a webinar or whatever else, and you have any gut feeling that says, this doesn't sound right, this doesn't feel right, it's probably not right. And you need to pull back and, you know, take a little more time to investigate. My advice is always spend more time up front, really doing your due diligence and investigating so that you can make an intelligent informed decision rather than allowing you to be pushed or coerced or forced into making a decision that you're going to regret the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Bob, maybe you can talk about curriculum. And as you're looking at the, you know, the education product, whatever it may be, what should someone be looking for in terms of the curriculum and how it's taught, the methodology, the courses? Maybe what are some ideas on some tips there of what someone really needs in terms of curriculum?
Great question. You want to make sure that you get an expansive curriculum, which means that it covers more than just one topic. See, if somebody is trying to get you to just pigeonhole yourself into one single strategy and tell you that's the be-all, end-all for the rest of your days, they're going to set you up for eventual failure because the marketplace shifts. Mm-hmm. It changes on a regular basis. We try to teach our students. We say, listen, you need to learn 5 different strategies. Not that you may become an expert in all of them at once. You may find one that you really fall in love with and follow that path. But you need to understand at least 5 different strategies because if the market changes, you could find your strategy going away. And if that's all you know, you're out of business. Whereas if you have 4 others to fall back on, you just continue to be profitable.
Hey, give us 5. Give us your top 5. What would be your that's unexpected. What do you
top 5? I mean, certainly you want to understand the concept of fix and flip. You got to understand how to acquire properties through short sales, through probate, you know, all sorts of different wholesale buying opportunities, you know, and wholesaling is another strategy. You want to understand lease options. You want to understand buy and hold. You want to understand, you know, tax liens and deeds and seller finance notes. If you understand all of those things, then you're pretty bulletproof. And I'll give you an example.
Hold it. You didn't say tax and legal. You didn't say tax and legal. I thought that'd be one of your top 5. What the crap is going on here?
You said real estate strategies. Tax and legal is an important part of every real estate strategy.
Okay, there you go. Okay.
Oh, Kohler's feeling left out.
So the IRAs and pension plans. I mean, our people wouldn't be able to raise the money for their deals. I mean,
okay. There you go.
You two are like the dynamic duo. Without you, our business doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. You may proceed now, sir. Okay.
No, I appreciate that. So looking at an example, back in 2006, 2007, what you had is you had a strategy called Subject 2. In other words, you were purchasing property yeah. subject to the existing mortgage. It was a great no money down strategy, and people were crushing it with subject to because the properties themselves had so much value than the mortgage. In other words, they were worth more than they had owed on them. Now comes along the crash, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, boom, it hits rock bottom. You have this massive expanse of foreclosures in the marketplace. Now all of a sudden the market's turned upside down. Properties are worth less than what's owed on them. Subject to, as a strategy, went away. And it went away fast. If that was the only thing that an investor was reliant on, they now found themselves out of business and having to do something else for a living. Whereas if they also understood the concept of buying properties through banks, auction, buying properties at their REO department, which stands for real estate owned, which every bank has, or doing short sales to get banks to lower the amount that they will take as owed on the property to create an equitable position, they can use any of those other strategies to still acquire really great deals to continue their business. That's why I say never, ever allow someone to pigeonhole you into one strategy.
I love it. Bob, great comment. And I know that you've got to get running back into the studio, educating people around the country. I just love your model. We'll talk more about you offline so you don't hear what we say. But I'm just joking. We are so impressed with your business model, and we're grateful to be instructors there too. And for anybody interested in that quality online education, please get to myrenatus.com. That's myrenatus, R-E-N-A-T-U-S.com. Bob, anywhere else we should send them? Is that sound
thank
okay?
Thank you. You know what? That really is the best place. Go to the website. We work through, you know, independent marketing affiliates all across the country. So if you're interested in learning more about our company, you know, just contact us through our website. We'll be happy to get in touch with somebody in your local area so you can plug into a local group of investors that gives you that support group that we've been talking about.
I love it. Well, thanks for being with us. Matt, this has just been fantastic.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. That was everything we were looking for. I mean, you just delivered as usual.
I mean, I'm telling you, Mark is the craziest guy in front of a classroom I've ever seen. I love attending all of his workshops. And Matt, you and I still need to get out on a mountain bike because I want to see just how skilled you are at navigating the rough and tumble.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
Happy to be on here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bob.
Well, thanks everyone for being on the show. Thanks for Bob Snyder, our special guest today. We're going to be back with you next week with an amazing hour of Refresh Your Wealth. Thanks again for being with us. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.